Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's November 25th, 2014. Before I lay the groundwork for part two of a special recorded testimony at the monthly Pinnacle Forum gathering at the Champaign Country Club this past Friday, I want to do a little shout out for a special couple that's dedicating this day to honor their 15th wedding anniversary. They give God thanks for their beautiful daughter and want to encourage all the Great News Radio listeners to put God first in their lives and in everything give thanks. They share a Bible verse, which is a favorite of many, out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. We thank this couple for these special words, their financial support, and wish them a happy 15th wedding anniversary. Well, if you tuned in yesterday, you heard from Tim Johnson lay some of the groundwork for hearing those whispers of God, as that's been our fall-winter study, following along in a book titled The Power of a Whisper by Bill Hybels. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, I encourage you to go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and listen to it on our archive programs page. Well, Brooks did such a wonderful job yesterday, I'm going to rewind about 4 minutes of his testimony and start it over so you'll hear it in its entirety today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Brooks will talk about how God met him at his point of need, that he learned to slow down and listen, knowing that it's important to be obedient and yield to God's leading. There's a time for everything, but he's not to fear or be dismayed, for God goes before him. And as he manages and oversees the local IGA there in Mahomet, he sees his store as a tool to serve God each and every day. Here's Brooks Marsh.
Tim came out to visit with me a few weeks ago, and he said, how does a Montana, he said farm boy, but Tim, it's really a ranch boy. It's a little different there, but they're sensitive about that in Montana. I'm not sure exactly why, but how does a Montana ranch boy end up in a small town running a grocery store in Illinois? And I told him, Tim, that's a pretty long story. And he said, well, why not give me the short answer? So that's what I'll give you today. Lots of towns and miles between there, but we'll skip over most of them. So after 32 years of Super Value, I served hundreds of families, expanded, remodeled, built, purchased, and helped families sell their stores. Some 900 projects in all, or at least. I learned through and lived with the pain of families that sometimes lost everything in their quest. I helped families to many successful sunrises and sunsets, and I had a very satisfying career. I grew up in Montana in a ranch with 7 brothers and 1 sister. My desire to own a business started from my first job. That'd be the first job that wasn't on the ranch, because on a ranch, when you can walk and carry something, your first job starts. Your dad puts something in your hand. So it'd be my first job, but interestingly enough, or not interesting, maybe not even coincidental, was at a small IGA store in Plentywood, Montana. I told my dad one day that, hey, Brad Jellum, he was the next ranch over, who we historically had a feud with in the history of our family. They used to steal cattle from each other. But my best friend was Brad Jellum, and his dad was paying for his chores. I said, Dad, when am I going to make money for my chores? And after I picked myself up off the floor, my dad said, this is how we live. So a few days later, he said, well, you got a job in town after school. You're going to be going to that IGA store, and Uncle Rupert will bring you home afterwards, and then you do your chores. And so that was good enough. So I started making money at this little IGA store, a job my dad put me in that job? We'll see. Interesting. So why I had a desire to own my own business over the years, I had 6 children. I missed lots of tuck-ins, when my boys were little, and I didn't like to miss those. We sung lots of songs and did stuff when I was home, but I spent a lot of nights on the road. My desire to own a business of my own really never worked out as hard as I tried. While I prayed about it often, I never heard a voice or a whisper that said, here's what you do next to own a business. Each time I was involved in a potential store purchase, and it was always kind of on the side because it was one of our customer stores, the deal would somehow be bid out of my reach, or usually be bid out of my reach, by the big multi-store players in the industry that could afford to pay a lot more for a location that they coveted than it really was needed because they wanted that location. So an individual was a tough time to a tough way to get a location like that. So under my protest some 15 years ago, we moved from Urbana to Mahomet. If you're not guessing already, that was at the bequest of my wife, or the insistence of my wife. I was perfectly happy in our brand new home in Urbana, but she said, nope, we're raising our children in a small town school district. It's going to be Mahomet, Monticello, or St. Joe. And not knowing the reason why, God brought us to Mahomet. At some point, after working with customers and looking at deals many times for myself, I was reaching an age where it wasn't realistic to say, hey, I'm going to take on several million dollars in debt, pay it off, and have a retirement. And so my quest for the right deal was waning a little bit. I wasn't sure if it was really going to happen. And then there was the ethical factor, competing for a business with one of my customers that I was supposed to be helping buy that business. So there was always kind of a little rub like that when I got involved in something also. I felt really resigned and discouraged after a while, thinking probably it wasn't going to happen. And my wife kind of really tied that up tight one day when she said, I don't think you're ever really going to get your own business, are you? You're just going to keep kind of looking at these things and running numbers, aren't you? Well, that felt like a pretty cold nudge. But really, it was the first whisper that said, I needed to be happy today with what I had. Happy today with what I had. And that really was a message from God, to be satisfied. And as I prayed about it, I realized I really was not doing so bad. It wasn't so bad what I was doing. Maybe this desire wasn't the right desire. Yet seemingly, again, I'll say seemingly, underlined, out of the blue, one of the owners from Muhammad IJ walked up to me one day and said he'd like to talk to me. Chuck, as many of you may know, said he wanted to retire in 5 years and wanted to find the right person to purchase the store. He stated that he knew me as a strong Christian, which I really appreciated because I didn't know Chuck very well, and thought I'd be the right person that would give to the community the way that his family had for the last 48 years. He didn't want to sell to a chain. He wanted somebody that would live and breathe and give to the community. I was pretty surprised, and I said, well, yeah, of course I'm interested. I thought about it in the following weeks, and thinking about it, it didn't seem like a really wonderful opportunity. If I were to purchase a store 5 years from them, I knew it would be a store that would have to be purchased twice. By that I mean that the owners of the store want to be compensated for their sales and their great location, yet the store had been built in the mid-70s, and so the store needed to be doubled in size, needed to have $2 or $3 million worth of new equipment, and I didn't know if that would work in the whole picture if I had to wait 5 years to buy it. Not to mention that this was a location that the big players that have stores in Champaign would be very excited to have a fringe store that wouldn't cost them anything more for advertising or supervision, be a store that they would covet, and probably they would bid accordingly based on that. So while I was very interested, I'd been in the business long enough, I knew the reality of the situation. So I ran into Chuck in the store some weeks later, and he was pretty exasperated. I don't know if you know Chuck, but it was something like this. Brooks, you didn't come see me. And Chuck's... Does anybody know Chuck? That's probably a little more clear than Chuck would say that. In fact, when I talk to Chuck, I'm talking real fast usually, and Chuck's a little doing the mumble thing, and she says, "How do you two understand each other?" So we know it has to be God in a situation like that. So I said, "Chuck, of course I'm interested." I was pretty surprised. I said, "You said you wanted to work 5 more years, and so I didn't really want to come bother you right away. I kind of felt that'd be kind of vulturous to be in there the next week saying, sell, sell, sell," although I was pretty excited about it. And Chuck looked surprised back at me and said, "Oh, no, we want to sell now. I just want to work 5 more years. That's got to be part of the deal." So the process began. It was about 8 months of talking and cajoling and getting a family to let go of the heritage they'd built. 48 years the family had been in the store. I'd seen this struggle many times as I'd brokered deals. Entrepreneurs tied to the hearts of their parents and their grandparents and their business, kind of all tied together. Yet they wanted and they really needed to sell. You see, once we got the numbers, the deal wasn't quite as sweet as I had originally pictured. The supercenters and the competitive nature of Champaign had eaten away at the sales of the store that really had been built, like 77 maybe, Russ, is that probably right? Somewhere in the late 70s. They were on a sales slide, and they had been in the store long enough that they were not really controlling their variable expenses as their sales slid. So they really needed to sell also. We met Tuesday nights in Chuck's office over this 8 months. It was his night to work. He always worked one night a week, even being the owner of the store. And it was the slowest evening of the week. So we'd sit in his office and eat fried chicken and talk about the store. As the cold and the snow blew outside, we crafted a plan. We really crafted a close friendship. I came to know Chuck's heart as a really wonderful man. As we neared the deal, the in-laws that own equal shares got involved in the deal also. And they had several workable requests, nothing to be too concerned about. The week we were to sign the purchase agreement, one of the in-laws stated they wanted to get a price from one of the other small chains in the area. And of course I went, because I was hoping that wouldn't happen, but if I was doing the same thing, I would do exactly the same thing, and I would advise them to do the same thing. So I knew that would happen. The partners came back with the news that our price was close. Our price was close, but they knew, and they stated this, that they knew that the other players wouldn't honor the final demand that they had. And that statement came from one of the partners, and it kind of gave me a little bit of a sinking feeling, because up to this point there had been no demands. It had been nearly a year, and nobody demanded anything. We just talked about this and that and the structures of the deal and those types of thing, and there was never a demand kind of thing of we have to have this or something like that. So I was a little bit nervous about that. But the final demand was worse than that. It was the week of what I call the ceiling coming in on a deal, and we were hit with what I call three deal killers. And I'll expose a little bit of my finances when I say this, so and I think it's okay. I think that's what God's leading me to do. So the bank had tied up nearly all of our assets, since fairly enough, if there's any bankers in here, we're an unknown risk to them. I was an unknown risk to them because I'd advised a lot of people, built a lot of stores, but I'd never run a store, so they would, can you talk or can you work? I mean, that's a fair question. So, all right, let's keep our boys not answering that. That's one of my favorite things when I'm coaching my sons is they say, Dad, how many times are you going to say the same thing over and over again? And I say, till you get that look off of your face, and I think you finally heard it. So they learned to nod a lot. I'm not sure I taught them a lot more than that. I hope I did. The partners also, the second thing is the partners informed me that even the stock price, even though the price was okay, they'd got some other concerns about one of their sons that wasn't in the area, and they wanted to keep 10 to 25% of the stock for him, lower the price, and put their son in as my partner, who I'd never met before. Turns out he's a great guy, but I'd never met him before. The third thing is that they presented me with a letter from the landlord in Chicago that Russ sold the store to. Russ, didn't you sell the store to that guy? Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry, Russ. You should have known by the last name, Russ. So he stated that the lease was not assumable and that he was willing to talk about a new lease for the store at about double the rate. And that was a big jump. His last name happened to be Sharko, Ron Sharko. So that makes me smile now, but it didn't make me smile at all then. And I love you, Russ. You know that. That's true. I do love Russ. To say I was distressed was a pretty much a major understatement. I'd been part of too many good deals and too many bad deals not to recognize how far I could go. I would not risk everything to take on a partner that I didn't know. Just wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to risk my house to have somebody included in a business I'd never met before. I'd seen partnerships, even among close friends, go terribly bad. I think we've seen that before. Two friends get together, have a partnership, we're going to do this together, and it's just a war because of many different things. The double lease simply would not work. Each of the three items individually was enough to kill the deal. So after almost a year, we were days away from telling my company that we'd be leaving after 32 years till this change happened, and it happened all at once. I questioned everything. I was frustrated, and I was asking the question, God, what is this? And was it just the original message that the original whisper God gave me? Just be happy with what you have? With the three things all coming at one time, it seemed that was probably the clear message. As Tammy and I drove, and somebody made this joke about me not being silent very often. Who was that? Probably the guy looking around there in the middle of there from my forum. We're driving down the road pretty silently, and Tammy knew I was pretty stressed out, and it's unusual for both of us because Tammy's about as not silent as I am, so we can't keep air in a room that doesn't have a voice in it between the two of us. So Tammy didn't really even know how to advise me or comfort me, but God did. We were in the car, and I was tense and frustrated and saying, what next? And there was a very, very clear whisper. It said, it's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. And it wasn't just a, oh, really, God? It was a physical shudder, a touch of the Holy Spirit, and I was just overwhelmed with peace. Never happened before or since then to that level, but I had an unmistakable comfort, relief, and just clarity that this is just all taken care of. And I was just so at peace, my wife couldn't even understand it. Not knowing the outcome, just that it was taken care of. I felt only wonderment and peace that I'd never experienced, and the days that followed were just the opposite of the days before. No questioning, no fear, and no stress. But God's answers to those three questions came very quickly. One at a time, the items were gone. Let me underline, gone. They weren't negotiated, they weren't discussed, they were just gone. Even now when I think about it, I'm still in awe. Now, George, I don't know if you're George from the bank, but George from the bank called and said, hey, we met last Thursday, and hey, we're going to go with our original deal. And it was just George. The assignment of lease that we'd sent to Sharco, I said, hey, when they told me he wasn't going to do it, I said, well, just sign this assignment of lease, our attorneys of prayer, I'm sending it up to him. Oh, we got a call to say they'd received it. No other comment, just they'd received the assignment of lease. And the subject of the son, the faraway son coming home to be my partner, it didn't come up again. They just didn't even bring it up. So was it a coincidence? No, the three issues were a strong message from God that followed the whisper. Yet God wasn't done yet. You'd think, wow, God put that deal right together. But it wasn't done yet in terms of how I was supposed to operate the store. We progressed as a store. We renovated, expanded it. And then after 4 years, we doubled the size of the store almost, spending over twice what we'd paid for the business. During our celebration, the mayor spoke. She stated how much the community appreciated all that we'd given to the community. But what she said was very nice. Her comments were completely covered by the next whisper I received at that moment. And it was this: I've given you the store. The store is a tool. It's a tool to serve him every day. And again, it was not as clear as the shutter in the car, but it was a strong message that the store was a tool. It was more than just giving back to the community and being a good community member. It was touching customers' life with his love, helping hundreds of young people in their first job, and witnessing to our employees and being open and direct about that. I should say right now that maybe a lot of you guys hear whispers, and I'm jealous about that, because I'm a guy that doesn't hear whispers very much. In fact, I used to pray about that because people would say, God told me this today. God told me this today. I'd go, oh, really? That's great. And I think, why am I not hearing every day from God like that? And seriously, I was a little embarrassed. I'd think, am I not spiritual enough? Do I not hear well enough? The point was clear here. God's leading showed me here that God meets us at our point of need. He knew my point of need and stress in the car that day, and he knew what he needed to tell me when the mayor was verbosely talking about all that we gave to the community. He knew that when I needed to have a message, and that's when I got those clear messages. I also, it doesn't say I don't seek every day to hear more closely, because I do. I know that the things that go on in my head are so fast, sometimes I don't listen to anything else. And so I do seek every day to hear God even closer. But I have great comfort in knowing that God knows my every need. God knows my every need every moment. I have a lot of comfort in that as I go through my days. While I wish this all would have occurred 10 years earlier in my career, it'd make it a lot easier, I'd have it paid off, and blah, 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 blah. God knew what was going on, and he was busy the whole time preparing me for this opportunity. And looking back, I can see God's fingerprints all over my career at different points. So for me, for Brooks Marsh, it's about slowing down and listening, being obedient and yielding. And that's pretty tough. I'm kind of a personality, and it's very difficult for me to do that, to just yield and listen to God. Our ears have to be turned to God, and we have to practice doing that. Or I have to really practice doing that, because I can start praying and find myself meandering off into the day rather than really praying and earnestly about what God has on my heart. My typical or historical response to the three deal killers would have been run headlong into those issues, yelling and screaming that's not fair, and messing the whole thing up. I mean, that would be my typical Montana Angus bull. I can bulldoze through these people that they're not right to me. Yet, yielding and obeying God's word and listening, that's when we can best hear. And that's certainly what I learned when I can best hear. I know it's different for each of us. Each of us has different businesses and different calls in life. But God wants us to be a player in his plan through our lives and through our businesses and through the people we touch. My wife's favorite Bible verse comes to mind. I hear it often from her. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And it touches many things in our lives and many things in our days when you think about that Bible verse. And of course, my favorite verse from Deuteronomy, do not fear or be dismayed, because I can fear everything. I can make lots of stuff up in my head to be afraid of. Do not fear or be dismayed, because God is going before us. And what else could we ask for? That's my story.
Mark is recording this. Mark, can we make sure that I get this to put up on our website? I was just thinking, I don't think any of us can say it any better than Brooks just said it. But as Brooks used to coach his kids, I think we need to hear some of those words over and over and over. And I know that as you shared just right at the end, that's truth that you were sharing. And we need to practice listening to truth. And so Brooks's message will be up on our website for us to go back and revisit. But the fact of the matter is that this is God's story, and He wants our work. He wants us to understand how our work fits into His story. Done. It isn't any other way. God is reality. What Brooks, you talked about, is the way it is. And we just need to keep listening. And I like what you said at the end. There's a discipline. There's a seeking. And for us, all of us, there's a different way of doing it, but we must do it. It means if some of you have heard Bill Hybels, he was talking about what he did and where he went to then take 20 or 30 minutes to get in Scripture, to pray, and to listen to God. Whether you're a morning person or a night person or whatever, it has to be intentional. And thank you, Brooks, for sharing what God has done in your life, how you are following Him, how you don't do it perfectly just like the rest of us, but you know where goodness comes from. And it doesn't come from us alone. It comes from God through us for His glory. Amen.
Well, that was Tim Johnson, the executive director of the East Central Illinois Pinnacle Forum, closing out remarks after Brooks Smarr shared. And this was a recording from this past Friday at the Champaign Country Club for the monthly Pinnacle Forum large group gathering. I hope you were blessed by Brooks' remarks, and stop by that Muhammad IGA, load up that grocery cart, and give them an encouraging word for hearing that whisper from God and to taking it to heart, as we all can, as we slow down, ask God to work in and through our situation and be attentive to His leading. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, or you want to listen to it again or paste the program into an email and send it on to a friend, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and click on our archive programs link, and you can listen to the audio anytime, or right-click and paste the link into an email and send it to a friend. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.